having that background in sales and sales leadership just helps me understand the business as a whole. One thing that I ask all of my employees to do is treat your position, your job here, like this business was your own. And so, you know, you could be doing shipping and receiving, you could be doing customer support, you could be in sales. But if you really ask yourself each day, you know, am what I doing, is it making an impact for the business?
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Do I have to tell you?
No.
I'm gonna.
You have to tell everybody else, though.
All right, it's fantastic. How are you?
Right. Oh, I'm doing great. Doing awesome. Great. I am excited to innovate some fun today with our guest.
How are you going to do that?
Well, first, actually, that ties in with the question that I have for you.
Okay, go for it.
What do you think of when you hear the word Beamer?
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is a BMW.
Okay, that was the second thing that came to mind for me.
What was the first thing that came to your mind?
A Beaulieu and Mabillard roller coaster.
I've never heard them called a Beamer.
Really?
No. It's always B&M.
I mean, I hear B&M for the most part.
Yeah.
But I also hear, oh yeah, it's a great Beamer. Good floorless floorless Beamer. New dive coaster.
I've never heard that. Is that like a new thing, like roller?
I have no idea.
Well, now that we've got those two things out of the way, now what do you think of when you think of Beamer?
Hey, I'm asking you the question. We're going to learn about what a Beamer is in this interview with Ryan Borton, who is the CEO of Funovation.
And if you think it has anything to do with cars or roller coasters, you're incorrect. So you have to keep listening to find out what his definition of a Beamer is. Right. And how to get a job doing it.
I'll give you a hint. It has to do with laser beams, because yeah. Funovation manufactures, installs, implements incredible laser mazes within family entertainment centers and attractions of all scopes and sizes. And in addition to laser mazes, is able to branch out into other small footprint types of attractions that's able to help venues optimize their revenue per square foot.
So I actually learned something besides what a Beamer is. I learned a new term during this interview, and it was booster attraction. Mm. I'd never heard it referred to that. You know, obviously there's the anchor attractions, but I hadn't heard the term booster attraction. And that really gets into maximizing those square footage areas that you may think are useless or may just be a broom closet. Ryan and his team can turn that into something that can create revenue for your organization.
Yeah, which is actually really cool to think about, especially when you phrase it as booster attraction. Because when you think of a bowling alley, you think of bowling. When you think of a trampoline park, you think of trampolines. And so by being able to tie in a booster attraction like a laser maze, you're able to take the existing space that you already have and just amplify what you're able to do to generate additional revenue and to further enhance the experience for your guests. Because now they have even more to do while they come visit, whether they're waiting for a lane or whether they're exhausted from the trampolines. And we're going to hear Ryan talk about all of that and his role as CEO.
We're also going to hear about his history and his path, which may be a little different than most of the industries that he came from to now be the CEO of Funovation. But what's really great is he takes a lot of the lessons from that previous role, that previous job, and can now use them. And we got to hear a lot about that from him today. So I think it's time to kind of jump in and make the fun or innovate the fun.
Let's do it. Let's innovate some fun. Hey, Ryan, welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast. So exciting to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
We are too. So as we get into this, can you just give us a quick overview? Tell us a little bit about who you are, and I would say just a quick background in your career.
Sure. So I'm currently the CEO of Funovation here in Longmont, Colorado. My career started what feels like a long time ago. Out of college, had a couple odd jobs, and then started in the subprime mortgage industry. I was one of those guys that was cold calling, Joe Public and trying to help him refinance his home loan back in 2008. And from there, kind of saw the writing on the wall and saw where the mortgage market was going, and then transitioned into a little bit more of a sales leadership positions. Was working in what was called the lead generation industry. So trying to generate leads for people in various industries, and really coming from a sales rep position, really wanted to be a sales leader. And I kind of over the last 10, 15 years have worked several positions in sales leadership. And lucky enough, about 6 years ago to join Funovation as the director of sales. And about a year after that, I became our CEO.
That's really cool. I definitely want to get into some of the lessons you learned as the subprime mortgage guy, and then now in the CEO. But I'm also curious, just from a leadership standpoint, you talk about sales leadership. So is there a difference between sales leadership and other kinds of leadership?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't really think there is, to be honest with you. It's something, I grew up in the greater Los Angeles area and was a fan of UCLA basketball as a kid, and actually learned something from, the legendary coach John Wooden, which was, you got to recognize that every member of your team is different, right? And so what makes them, different makes them unique. And you have to manage them that way as well. So, what may make, one sales representative tick may not motivate the other one, right? So it's maybe understanding that, one of your employees is financially motivated, right? It's how much money can I make? How can I feed my family? Where you may have a customer service representative who's more in tune with, their good day was making sure they were able to help a customer. And so really, I don't think there's a difference between being a sales leader versus a business leader. It's really understanding the members of your team and what makes them tick, and really motivating them differently. And so it's really a leader's job to understand and meet with each one of those individuals to see what drives them.
Yeah, you make a really good point there as far as the motivation not being a one-size-fits-all type of strategy, and in that recognizing that everyone is unique, and that if you try to implement a one size fits all, then in many cases it'll probably backfire, because motivation or whether it's sales incentives or whatever it is, if it doesn't align with their character, then they're not going to continue the behavior that you're trying to reward and trying to make repeatable. So that's really interesting. What would you say are some of the components with your background in sales that has then prepared you for the CEO role at Funovation?
It's dependent on who you ask. Some people believe that sales drives a business, maybe marketing drives the business. I really think that, obviously without sales, you're not going to drive any sort of business, right? You got to make that money and bring it in. And so having that background in sales and sales leadership just helps me understand the business as a whole. One thing that I ask all of my employees to do is treat your position, your job here, like this business was your own. And so you could be doing shipping and receiving, you could be doing customer support, you could be in sales. But if you really ask yourself each day, and what I'm doing, is it making an impact for the business, right? And if this was my business, would I spend the extra $10 on product A, or try to save the $10 if we purchase product B, from a supply chain standpoint? And so really it's motivating through asking people, hey, if this was your checkbook, if this was your pocketbook, if you weren't going to go out and make that one extra phone call today and couldn't feed your family. Are you going to make that one extra phone call to try to sell our product today? And that's really what I try to ask all my employees to do.
Yeah, Ryan, I really appreciate that mindset because it does give people some ownership. On the other side of that, that takes, from your standpoint, it takes some empowerment, right? Because they're going to make some decisions maybe that you may not have made or are different than a direction you might have gone, but it might be just as successful. So how do you kind of balance that, giving them the autonomy, but also making sure they're meeting the goals that you want from an organizational standpoint?
That's a great question. And I think the one thing you have to be okay with as a leader is to allow people to make a mistake, right? You know, maybe it's not the way I would have done it or the decision I would have made. But ultimately we'll just sit down and have that conversation and say, hey, maybe in the future, we maybe want to look at it from this perspective. Conversely, I've had some of my employees teach me new ways and new ways to look at things and how to do things. And so I think it's important for people to have that autonomy, but also have that open dialogue and let people know that, hey, it's okay to make a mistake. I may not have done it that way. Or they'll come to me and say, hey, this is the way I did it. And I'll tell them, I wouldn't have done it that way. Great job. So it's really just having that dialogue and open understanding that, you know, we're going to get through it together.
Yeah, no, that's really important. Thank you for sharing that. And just for our audience out there, for those people who might not necessarily be familiar with Funovation, can you also just give us a quick intro and background of what you do?
Sure. So you can thank Catherine Zeta-Jones in the movie Entrapment. One of our founders, his name is Ted, actually started the business, you know, pre Funovation. Back in 2015 with the idea of trying to create a laser challenge where you're trying to navigate through a room of lasers as quickly as you can. And it was inspired by the movie. And he and a couple, you know, partners at the time kicked around the idea of trying to make this an attraction and started it in the haunt industry back in 2015. And based on a couple, you know, sales here or there, Funovation was founded back in 2007. And so we'll be celebrating our 14th year here at the end of the year. And again, just started with, you know, the initial attraction, which was the Laser Maze Challenge. And the goal of the business is to remind the world to play. That is one of our visions. And the other two is to create, you know, experiences for people that are going to make them smile. You know, we want people to smile while engaging them both physically and mentally. And so one thing we like to say is that our attractions require both brain and brawn. And so you're not just out there, you know, doing one thing. It's going to require you to use your brain as well as use your muscles and jump around and get around. And so that's how the business was kind of founded. And you know, one of my goals over the last couple of years was how do we take that overall vision and mission and start to grow? And so we've started to introduce new attractions, new partnerships. No longer do we want to be recognized as the Laser Maze guys, but more of an expert in small footprint, you know, booster attractions that are going to help, you know, generate, you know, revenue for our customers and put smiles on their customers' faces.
Ryan, can you dive a little deeper into the booster attraction? What does that mean? And to a consumer or to a business owner, what would I be looking for if I was looking for a booster attraction?
That's a great question. So a booster attraction is going to be one that's going to help generate revenue for our customer, but also may not be the main draw to the family entertainment center or the trampoline facility or the bowling alley, right? So, you know, if you have a bowling alley, you know, your draw is going to be the bowling, right? A trampoline facility is going to be the trampolines. A laser tag facility is going to be your laser tag. Now for us, you know, what we are is we're those little guys on the side that are going to keep people engaged while they're waiting to play laser tag. Or if they're a little tired from jumping on the trampolines for the last 20 minutes, hey, let's go jump in the laser maze. Or go jump in raid and play that for a little bit to give ourselves a break. And it's something that people can do, you know, while they're waiting or you know, taking, waiting their turn for the main attraction that might be drawing them in. And so, you know, we're okay with that. You know, we're okay with being those guys, because, you know, per square foot, it generates revenue for our customers.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. As far as being that, you said small footprint booster attraction, that you probably are able to fit into spaces that operators would otherwise think of, well, this is just storage space, or we're not able to use this. So curious then, as how do you position that, as this is something that can really help you optimize or substantially increase your revenue per square foot, even though it's not the main event that people are coming for?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what we do is, you know, we've installed over 400 attractions in 33 countries. And I can tell you, there's no two that are exactly the same. And that's kind of what separates us a little bit too, is you're right. You could have an L-shaped room. We've installed in round rooms. We, you know, can get creative. And when a customer or a prospect might come to us and say, hey, Ryan, I have 180 square feet, but my room is weird, you know, and I don't know what to do with it. And, you know, it's our responsibility to take those drawings and look at them and say, hey, we can make this work. Like, we can turn that empty closet into a revenue generator for you and help you make money. And here's how we do it. And what we'll do is we will actually, what we call beam the individual rooms here at our facilities. So we can take those awkwardly shaped rooms and mimic them here and determine the best possible way to make it exciting, energetic, and bring people in and make it an attraction. And so when people then can say, okay, wait a second, I can make $100,000 this year on something that was just collecting dust and holding junk, it makes us smile, because now we're generating revenue for somebody that otherwise didn't think they could do it.
Yeah.
So Ryan, can you walk us through a little bit of that process when you get the call and says, I have this really weird shaped room, and you say you're looking at it at your facility? I mean, I'm picturing, you know, like a laser with, you know, kind of outlining the whole thing and people walking through like the early virtual reality thing. So can you kind of walk us through that process and give us a glimpse of what that looks like?
Yes. Yeah. So I will be honest, it's not as high tech as that. But what we do is we actually will take like faux walls, and we will actually maneuver them to outline what we, based on their drawings, what we see as the room actually looking like. And we actually will have a beamer, what we call a person that's going to come in and beam, and we'll put string from one wall to the other. And we do that on all four walls or five walls or six walls, it depends. But really trying to maximize the experience. And so, you know, for instance, the last thing we want is, you know, Jimmy, who's 5 years old, to get on the floor and just crawl underneath all the lasers, because ultimately that's no fun for anybody, right? And so what we'll do is we'll have the beamer go in and line it with string and make it what he or she believes is the ultimate experience. And then we bring in at least a second pair of eyes and say, okay, this looks great, but what if we tweak this? Or, you know, we have a laser that actually can move vertically through the attraction. And it's okay, we understand why you placed it there, but maybe the experience would be better over here. And so, you know, that kind of makes it unique. You know, like I said, no two are exactly alike. And so that's what we do, is we go through and then we really try to maximize the experience for the player and beam it all out here in the building.
Cool. So I know you said that the inspiration came from the movie Entrapment, but I'm totally thinking of Ocean's 11, or maybe it was Ocean's 12 or so, where they 12. Had the vault. And I think Ocean's 12 was the one where the guy did something, or he was like rappelling down a shaft with all the lasers around him. So it's cool actually for the guest to be able to almost have like that type of experience of what they've seen in the movies while they're visiting an attraction or an FEC. Can you talk a little about I guess the best way to say this is living up to your name. I can definitely see where the name comes from, Funovation. So how do you make innovation fun when looking to develop new products? You said earlier, you don't just want to be known as the laser maze guys. So what all goes into that innovation process of, I guess, innovating fun?
There you go.
Yeah.
So again, another good question. It's something that we always have to ask ourselves. Are we sticking with our vision, mission, and goals and our values, right? And so, you know, we've been approached with several different ideas on, hey, you know, why don't you guys try to do this? Or how about you guys try to do that? And not every time does it fit with who we are as a business, right? And so there's been opportunities that we've passed on as far as developing attractions, but ultimately it's like you said, we got to stick with our name, right? We got to have fun. We got to remind the world to play. And, you know, we want to create that brain and brawn attraction for our customers. And so, you know, the business is really led by our R&D team, who are engineers, who are much, much smarter than I will ever be. And it really, it's trying to develop an idea that is fun. And then working with R&D to say, okay, can we execute on this? You know, how much work is going to go into it? And really say, okay, let's start doing some testing. And we've had some fantastic partners in the industry, you know, specifically here in Colorado, that have allowed us to take some of these crazy, wacky, fun ideas that we have and go and test them and say, all right, let me plop this down in your FBC and let's beta test this for a while and see if it works. And that's one fantastic thing about this industry is how much people will really try to help each other and really try to help make each other successful. And that's what we do is we try to take those fun ideas, test them out, and then whether they work or don't work, we'll either take them to market or either pass on them. And that's kind of what we do is again, we work in a fun industry. Let's have fun doing it and kind of share the wealth, if you know what I mean.
Definitely, definitely. So I have kind of a side question. How do you get a job as a Beamer?
Hey, send me your resume.
I've got strength.
It's funny. We'll just have a couple of people that we'll bring in and we ask them, hey, create a fun, exciting experience and here's how you're going to do it. And we allow them just to kind of go and enjoy making or being part of making an attraction. And, you know, it's rewarding for them too, because they can then say, hey, that laser maze challenge in San Diego, I was the one that beamed it. Like I was the one that did it. And, you know, even taking families on vacations, you kind of go out of your way now to maybe stop by an FBC or two to say, hey, I had something to do with that. And that's kind of, you know, fun for our Beamers as well.
Yeah. And I would say you're taking the name of Funovation and not only providing it to the guests, but allowing your team to play to create those experiences.
That's right. That's right. You know, every once in a while we'll have, you know, a little competition in the back. You know, we have our own laser maze here at the facility and it's, hey guys, let's hop back there. Let's go play really quick. And let's see who can take the prize today. And one of our other founders is actually in his 60s and by far is the best laser maze player that we have. He kicks all our butts. So it's fun to watch.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I've been through some of your mazes before, and they're not super easy. Like they're pretty challenging to get through. Yeah, they do. Going back to that innovation and testing those ideas to see what are you going to take to market and what are you going to pass on. Any good stories on products that maybe really looked good on paper, but once you spec them out, just saw that, you know, this wasn't something that was going to be viable to install for a client?
Sure. So, you know, one of our newest attraction is called Raid. And actually that was inspired by an attraction that Funovation was starting to work on even prior to me being here, which was going to be called Laser Evader. And it had a couple different iterations and ultimately it was just determined at that time that, you know, it was going to be too costly to manufacture. Some of the theming elements weren't going to work because again, it was too costly. And, you know, being a small footprint, expert, you have to sit there and look at it and say, okay, based on the price it's going to cost to manufacture and make this, is X, you're going to have to sell it for Y. Are our customers going to purchase it for that price? And ultimately it was determined, like, it just didn't make financial sense from a manufacturing standpoint and a sales standpoint to move forward with that. And that was kind of, that project was axed, like I said, prior to me being here. And then a couple of years ago, I think it was about 3 years ago, one of my former sales reps and I were having a conversation, and it was like, hey, are there parts of Laser Evader that we can then revisit to try to launch something new? And based on what was learned from the prior experience, making some tweaks and things that we know about the family entertainment industry, we were then able to create a new attraction and take that to market, which fit both our values and what our customers were looking for. And, basically taking an experience that didn't work and turning that into something that did work was really a valuable experience for the business.
I'm curious, Ryan, as an organization that prides themselves on innovating, for your attractions and things, where do you look for inspiration and innovation? I mean, is it other attractions? Is it, businesses completely outside the industry? I'm just curious, like, what sparks your idea and your engineers' creative ideas?
Both actually. It's kind of walking around the industry, and we've had customers come up with ideas that we then say, hey, that's a fantastic idea, can we use it? Oh yeah, absolutely. You're inspired from outside of the industry as well. And we've been able to successfully help some other companies launch based on some of the knowledge we have from inside and outside of the industry. And what we also do too is everybody here at Funovation has a say into what we go to market with. And so it's not just myself and R&D or sales. It's every single employee will sit in the conference room and say, hey, here's an idea that's come up. What are the pros? What are the cons? What's going to work? What's not going to work? What do you like? What don't you like? And so we encourage our employees, once we get to the point of development and testing, hey, go test it out. Tell me what you think. Give me your unbiased, unfiltered, thoughts on this. And, sometimes my employees will come to me and be like, Ryan, that sucks, man. It wasn't fun. Like, my 3-year-old wouldn't even like it. And it's like, well, that's good feedback.
It's important not to sugarcoat those things. Right?
Exactly. Like, it's an open dialogue. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, oh man, that was really awesome. How do we grow off that idea or do something else? And, like I said, everybody's got a say, and we all try to pitch in and give ideas. But to answer the question, Matt, it's inspiration from inside as well as outside the industry.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's really interesting. One thing I'm curious if we can talk about too is, we talked about sales and your sales background. Wondering if we could talk about the marketing side of it. And the reason for that is because when I think of Funovation, I actually think of attending the IAPA Expo. And I think this dates back possibly even to 2007, definitely 2008. And, I keep all my badges from the majority of trade shows and put them in a shoebox and, revisit them months later or so. Ryan, almost every single badge that I have from an IAPA Expo has a Funovation sticker on it with my score, sometimes multiple, because I didn't do a very good job the first time. I had to go back and try it again. And I think it's such a cool, very low-tech solution to generating brand recognition on what is an otherwise very crowded show floor, that people are walking around kind of embracing their immediate connection with Funovation. So would love it if you're able to talk about your trade show marketing strategy.
Sure. So, I won't give away any secrets, but no, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the IAPA show in Orlando every year is our best trade show. And the reason for that is, we bring attractions to the show. We bring the Laser Maze Challenge, we bring our RAID attraction. There's only so much that you can do through a website or a pamphlet or even a conversation. Our goal has always been, let's get people to play. Let's get them to understand what it is and how our attractions may be different from some of our competitors. But really, it's always been, you know, let's get them to play. And it's funny, you know, at Orlando, we become a babysitter for children for a week. And, you know, we've been told by parents, like, we should thank you. You've been watching my children for the last 4 days. And we're like, no, we love it because it's part of the marketing strategy, right? You know, and so we run daily competitions at that show. And, you know, you'll see kids who have the top score at, you know, 11 a.m. in the morning, keep circling around by the booth every hour or two to make sure that they're still number one. And if they're not, they jump right back in line. And so the marketing strategy for IAPA is let's get people to play. Let's let them have fun. Let's drive competition. And inherently it shows our customers what the attractions can do for them at their facilities. Like you said, having that score, having those stickers, you know, it drives the competition, you know, bug in people and gets them out there to compete. Then we sell the attraction, and then, you know, one of our customers calls up and says, "Hey man, we got to stop with the stickers. I got 800 stickers all over my walls." So, you know, we kind of transitioned that to, instead of doing those stickers still, we actually have the ability, you know, talking from a marketing standpoint, now customers get those videos of them playing sent to their email address. And so, you know, what happens now is they'll share those videos on social media or, you know, email it to their friends and family. And what we then do is we allow the attraction to do marketing for our customer. And what happens is it contains what we call their banner and slate around that video. So if, you know, Josh, next time you go play at, you know, XYZ Family Entertainment Center, and then you email it over to Matt, he now knows, hey, this is a cool video. I can go play it at, you know, XYZ Family Entertainment Center. And, you know, so, you know, getting away from those stickers a little bit now and, you know, really driving marketing for both ourselves and our customers.
Yeah, it's really the best world of experience makes the sale, right? Because you're absolutely right. You know, especially when we deal in these experiences that people have that are, you know, both mental and physical, you can't describe that, like you said, on a website or a pamphlet or, you know, through a conversation. So I really appreciate that approach a lot. I'm wondering if we can switch gears just for a little bit. You participated in the Supplier Speak feature that we did in the fall of last year when we were, you know, knee deep in the pandemic and really asking people how they had weathered the storm. And you had some great things to say about, you know, we really think there's brighter days ahead and that type of thing. And I'm wondering if you can revisit that time a little bit, tell us a little bit about how COVID has impacted Funovation, but also kind of give us your thoughts on where we're going from here in your opinion.
Sure. So way to bring up some wounds, man. you know, just like everybody else, I mean, it literally was just over a year ago. We were at Amusement Expo in New Orleans and having a great time. And, you know, COVID was just kind of coming out, and literally came home from that show. And it turned into, you know, the high of having a great show in New Orleans to, oh my gosh, we have to make some serious business decisions right now. And so our goal, number one, was, you know, how do we keep the business alive? You know, what are we going to do now? Because the writing on the wall is, you know, who knows if family entertainment can survive a pandemic, right? And so, you know, unfortunately, just like other people in the industry, we had to make some real tough decisions. And it got to the point where, you know, we had to furlough, you know, the staff and really make those tough calls. And, you know, a bummer for me, some of my employees have moved on to other, you know, good jobs, which is great. Some within the industry, which is fantastic. But really it was actually an eye-opening experience for me as a leader. What was actually one of the blessings coming out of it was almost like we can, it's like a house, right? We can rip this company down to its studs and rebuild it and come up with new innovative ways, new fun ways that we may not have thought of had the pandemic not forced us to do so. And so that's kind of what we did is our engineers have come up with something that's really going to help the industry that's not even attraction based. You guys are going to be the first to hear that we've developed a new hazer technology that will work both in our attractions as well as things like laser tag and other attractions that otherwise we would not have had the time or energy to do. In the last month and a half or two, as restrictions have kind of lifted, our customers' businesses are picking back up. Our goal initially was, hey, forget Funovation. How do we help our customers? And so it was customer support full 100% was our focus. And how do we keep our customers alive? Thus, it's going to help us stay alive, right? And so, we did things like suspending all warranty payments. Really, our goal was to make sure that our customers were successful. And that actually, it ended up being a great plan. It worked out well for us. And now we're in a position to say, okay, as family entertainment rebounds, we're going to be here. And I do firmly believe that family entertainment is really going to take off here in the next couple of months as we keep getting some more and more of those needles in those arms. We're going to see a lot of people having to get out of the house. In some of these states, I mean, kids still haven't even gone back to school yet. In-person learning, they want to get out of the house. Mom and dad want to get out of the house. Mom and dad just want to say, here's a $20 on a card swipe. I don't want to see you for the next hour, right? And so I think that's where we're headed. The brighter day ahead is going to be the out-of-home family experience. Get Jimmy out of my hair for the next hour. Let me enjoy a beer over here by myself. Yeah. But really, that's where I see it going is family entertainment is going to be able to stick around and really give back to the people of the community.
So we should be able to see some pop-up drive-through laser mazes that you're just going to pop up and, hey, this is how you babysit your kids, right? And then on the other side, you've got a bar for the parents.
So, that's right. That's right.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Ryan, I think you just brought up a really good point that I think allows us to pull back and really look at this from 30,000 feet. And you really talk about family entertainment's role in not just the industry's rebound, but just the society's rebound from the pandemic. And that FECs or the family entertainment is crucial in that, or dare I even say essential. So can you talk about as far as what you see as, whether it's with Funovation or the industry as a whole, as it weaves its way into the fabric of society? I know that was a really deep question, but what's our role here that we're doing?
Yeah, I think the role is to give families that escape of what they've had to go through for the last year. And whether it's just for 1 hour or, a whole day or a week, for these large amusement parks, right? It's let's give families the ability to check out for a period of time. Let's let people get out of the walls of their home and let them go enjoy something that, the last year has been a lot. It's just weighed on a lot of people, right? It's weighed on all of us. And I think it's family entertainment's role to say, all right, guys, it's our responsibility for you to get out of the house and come enjoy something for a couple hours or for a day or for a week. Really enjoy just being able to get out of the house and like I said, mentally check out for a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm curious then, Ryan, what your message is to your team, because, a lot is made of the people who are providing the entertainment or providing the stability for others. They still need to be taken care of as well. So taking care of your team now, does that look different than it did pre-pandemic?
Yeah, it really does. That's a really good question. And I hadn't really thought about it. I find myself, like I mentioned earlier, with the strengths and the weaknesses and the understanding, I find myself now really trying to understand my employees even more, and understanding that, yes, we do something, like you said, for an outside clientele, generating fun for them. But how do we make coming to work every day fun? How do we enjoy the office? How do we enjoy each other? And you know, we're still operating on a limited capacity due to, you know, restrictions and things, but, you know, I had that conversation with one of my employees this morning. It's having that human interaction again, having the, seeing a smile on somebody's face, or shall I say their eyes light up when they're behind a mask, right? It's trying to have that understanding of what's going to make them happy. And also too, like, their needs, wants, and desires, you know, working at a company like this. And then also reminding them that what they do is fun and thus creates smiles for other people around the world. And I've done it where I'm just so head down focusing on a business. You forget what you do is actually entertaining and bringing smiles to people's faces. The same should be said, you know, when you're at the office during the day.
Yeah.
One of the things that you've mentioned, Ryan, is and going back to your team and leading your team, that your crew has been able to come together to assume larger roles over the course of the pandemic. And wondering if you're able to share some examples of that or how that's played out.
Yeah, I mean, we've always prided ourselves on being a bootstrap business. You know, it's our sales fund our business. And you know, when you see, you know, that dip in sales due to the impact of a pandemic, it then turns into survival mode. And it's, you know, I'm now the CEO, I'm the janitor, I'm the cook sometimes. It's the team has really rallied around what can I do to help the business? What can I do to make sure that we continue to thrive and survive? And it's, you know, we've even gone as far as, you know, I'm in here and with a sweater and a coat on because we didn't turn the heat on today. Like it ultimately became, how do you survive? And you do what it takes to make sure the business is going to be good moving forward. And that's exactly what the team has done. And I couldn't be more proud of the team and the individuals. And, you know, it's, you'll see that my chief technical officer walked down the hall with a bag of garbage. It's like, hey, it's my turn to take out the trash today. It's just always been a, hey, let's rally around this together and do what it takes. And that's really what the team has done is both, you know, survival mode and then looking to the future, how do we grow the business? And maybe, you know, it's helping out with marketing or helping out with customer support or shipping and receiving. It's a matter of, hey, how do I just jump in to help? And the team has really done that.
So I'm curious, Ryan, when you think about the future, as you were just talking about, are there things that you're doing now or that the pandemic sort of inspired that you think will keep going? Like, I'm sure you'll turn the heat back on at some point, but are there things business-wise or just with your employees that you think, hey, this is actually pretty cool. Let's keep this going even after the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, product standpoint, we've developed some new products that are going to be able to help not only the family entertainment industry, but you know, there's talks about how it might be able to help hospitals or community centers. So, you know, really it's forced us to kind of think outside of just family entertainment. And that's something we're going to continue to do now. It's like, oh my gosh, we've just opened up a world of possibility that we didn't think existed a year ago. Sure. And so, So there's going to be some innovation that we've done that's going to both, you know, help our industry as well as other industries that we're really going to continue to move forward with. And, you know, from a vision perspective of the business, there are some things that I would never would have thought about how we're going to drive the business forward that the pandemic has now forced me to sit down and say, hey, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Maybe this now is going to be a better idea. And those are some of the things we're going to take with us moving forward.
Awesome.
When you talk about, new products to be able to serve other industries. I know you mentioned the Hazer product before, but wondering if you're able to expand on that, or if that is all still, you know, yet to be released, but just curious as far as the way that you're able to serve other industries outside of entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. So it has not been released, but it's actually because of the Hazer, we're actually able to take some of that technology and apply it to potentially air filtration systems or things that, like I said, we never would have thought about prior. And so really it was taking technology that we have and we developed, and then through a potential partnership within the family entertainment industry, we're able to open channels to other industries. And so it's taking that Hazer technology that now may be able to use, like I said, in maybe like an air filtration or maybe a hospital environment. Some things, like I said, we never would have ever thought about, but we're able to take that technology and have a crossover basically.
So Ryan, we are kind of getting to the end here, but I want to go back to one of the first things we talked about when you were talking about your career and you know, being the subprime guy. Take us back there and think about a lesson maybe that you took from that you're actually still using today. Maybe something that, you know, occurred to you or you experienced that you can say, I can look back to that point and that's why I do this today. Is there anything like that you can think of?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I could summarize it probably in a single word, which is integrity. One thing I learned back then, like I said, it was those subprime mortgage days where, you know, people were handing out loans to anybody that wanted them, right? And it was, you know, walking into that industry and seeing some of the things that I saw and how people were getting what I'll say approved for home loans that probably shouldn't have. And, you know, had an impact on the financial crisis back in 2008. Right. And so it, you know, being in that situation, I had to look within myself and say, is this the right thing to do? Is this morally correct? And have that integrity and say, I probably, you know, we don't want to go down that road. And so taking those lessons and now, you know, being a CEO of an organization, integrity is key. Like you have to ask yourself every single day, am I being truthful to myself? You know, am I being truthful to the industry? Am I being truthful to my business? And you know, that integrity has forced me to walk away from certain situations that probably could have benefited me financially, both personally and professionally. But having that integrity to say, no, I'm not going to do that today. It's not the right thing to do. I now can look back at myself, be proud of making those decisions, you know, although it might have impacted my pocketbook, holding on to that integrity is key.
Excellent. Love that. Love that.
Yeah, no, and I think you make a good point there as far as of leading with integrity, and what that often means is sometimes giving up short-term gains for long-term, not only what will likely be business success, financial success, but of course also that impact on your moral conscience. So, which I would say is probably equally as important. So, so thanks for sharing that. When you look at the types of offerings that Funovation has and the different types of experiences, or maybe even a different installations of maybe a similar type of experience, are there any that jump out at you as being among your favorites of just being a really, really enjoyable, entertaining experience?
Oh man, there's been so many. You know, it's probably a silly answer, but I enjoy every single one of them. They all jump out to me for various different reasons. Like I said, each one is unique, right? And so the uniqueness of the attraction actually starts with the uniqueness of the relationship that was built between us and our potential or our future customer, right? It's, you know, I've had customers that I just randomly met, you know, at the mall one day and was like, hey, what do you do? And all of a sudden that's now a customer. Or you have the experience, like you said, at IAPA, and you look back and you remember talking to that specific individual for an hour on the trade show floor. And they finally just said, Ryan, why are we still talking? Let's just do this. Let's make some money. Right. And so each one really jumps out to me for its own unique, specific reason. The relationship from the very beginning, you know, how you met that person. And really, I think that's, you know, what makes, you know, our industry is so special too. It's really relationship based, and it's a fun industry to be in. And so I think they all kind of stand out for various reasons.
Well, I guess we'll take that answer.
Yeah. Very diplomatic.
Ryan, if people wanted to learn more about you or Funovation, where would you send them?
I'd send them to our website. Website is funovation.com. And you know, all of our contact information is on that site. You can give us a call, or you can email me directly at ryan.borton, which is B-O-R-T-O-N, at funovation.com. And you know, one of my secret sauce tips that I will give to anybody out there is what I call speed to lead. So anybody that contacts us, my expectation is we really try to get them while they're still on the website, try to have a conversation while they're, you know, ready to talk to us. And so, you know, any email, any phone call, you can expect Funovation to be talking to you or emailing you back within several minutes.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. Ryan, thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation. Really cool to hear about everything with your role with Funovation. Thank you for agreeing to babysit my son when I take him to IAPA when he's old enough and he's big enough. I'm absolutely taking you up on
that. For the next 20 years, man.
And for everyone out there who is watching and listening, just remember, we are all attraction pros.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.